During the Sunday evening services, we're going through a series on what we call signs of the times. Whenever you give a title to a message like that, the signs of the times, people get all excited, at least some do, because they wonder, aha, I wonder what his views are on. And then they put whatever they want in there, and that might be true to some extent, but I am not dealing with prophecy in the way that we seldom, or perhaps very rarely do we deal with it that way. I'm calling your attention from the last two messages on the book of Timothy, where Paul spoke to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and he said to them, to Timothy, speaking about the church and leading up to certain times, he said, I want you to know that in latter times, reoccurring over and over again, there will be certain things that will take place, and we want you to be aware of it. But this evening, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy, and where he changes the tone of what he's saying from what he had said before. In the first part, 1 Timothy 3, while there are some similarities, Paul suggests to Timothy that in the latter times there will be theological disasters and theological defections. Many will fall away from the truth, and they will give heed to seducive or seductive doctrines. Disasters and defections. But tonight we come to a different kind of approach as the apostle speaks to his young convert and now pastor of the church in Asia. He speaks to them, to him, concerning times that are to come. And it is different from what he was saying before. I think it is true to say that as you look in the New Testament, and as you look at history, as you study certain things, you will note that there have always been people who have been interested in knowing what time it is. In the sixth verse of Acts chapter 1, when Jesus is getting ready to depart to go back to heaven, he meets his disciples, or they meet with him, and they said, Lord, is this the time? Is this the time? Men have always been interested in what time it is on the calendar of God. And some have made disasters of some of the predictions they have made. Some have been downright stupid with some of the things they have said, giving specific time as to when Jesus Christ was going to come again, when no one knows that time, not even the angels. And that has been assured us by our Lord. So then what do we do if we are to understand the times in which we're living? What does the apostle said? What did he say to Timothy that now he says to us, as the Holy Spirit has preserved for us the Word of God so that we can look and understand the times in which we live and respond to it as God would have us to. Listen to Paul as he speaks to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. But realize this, and we'll come to that word later on because the King James uses the word, but know this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Paul speaks with no uncertain tone as to what he wants Timothy to understand. He speaks with a sense of certainty. He speaks as a prophet. He speaks as one in whom the Holy Spirit is actually giving to him something of what will take place beyond the times in which he lived, although certain of those things were taking place at that time. And one danger, I suppose, in looking at things from that standpoint is that when we hear certain things and we hear it over and over and over again, the tendency is to become indifferent to what we're hearing. The tendency is to say, oh my, I have heard that before. That's not new. And as a result, we go to sleep spiritually. We go to sleep mentally. We go to sleep theologically. And we do not have the sense to understand what time it is. Now, there are certain things that St. Paul wants Timothy to know. And first of all, he suggests to him the designation he puts on the times. He puts a certain designation on it. By the way, for those of you who want to take some notes, at the back of your bulletin is an outline of this evening's message. The designation of it. What does he say? It is in 3:1. I want you to know that in the last days, different from the latter times. The latter times are those reoccurring things that will take place. You'll see disobedient parents. You'll see people who are revilers, and you will see some of these things. But Paul says, don't take that for granted. That is leading up to something. And now he comes to Timothy, and he says, I want you to understand what will take place in the last days. The word is eschatos, from which we get our word eschatology. And Paul is talking about final things. Things that will lead to the uttermost. He's not telling you what is taking place from 1 to 10. He's telling Timothy, now there will be certain things that will take place from 1 to 8. And from 8 to 10, I want you to know that we are in a different time. We do not know when that time is. No one can say specifically, but Paul is saying that there is a certain time, not the general use of the time. We understand the last days to actually have started when Jesus Christ went back to glory until the time he comes again, whatever that time is. But Paul says, I want you to know, Timothy, that there will be a certain time that will set in. Certain times that will mark something specific. I want you to know that this is a specific time dealing with the uttermost of human history. Not simply the things that are reoccurring during your lifetime, because there are certain things that were occurring at that time that Paul said, Timothy, in the latter days, these things will happen. But he's saying now, these are things that will take place in the last days, the uttermost days, the final days. Before the second coming of Christ, whenever that is, for no one knows when that is, these are the things that will take place. We're going to look at a little word that is in there. At the end of verse 1, Paul says, difficult times will come. The word come, my friends, in the original means something unique will set in at that time. It will settle in. Somehow, the Spirit of God will give to those who are prepared for that time some kind of birth pains. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know why. But Paul will say to Timothy, you should be realizing in your mind certain times that will actually lead to something beyond what you have known before. So it's a specific time he's talking about. But then I want you to see that as he talks about how specific this time is, the last days, the final days, the end of time, I want you to see, my friends, he's talking about the signaling time. It's a time that will signal something. Archbishop Trench, one of the greats of the past, said this. This time, perilous time, says Paul, last times, end times, last days, used throughout the New Testament, a crucial epoch. A period of history foreordained by God when all that has been slowly and oftentimes without observation ripening through the long ages is now mature and comes to birth in a grand and decisive event which consists at once the close of one period and the commencement of another. Do you get it? It is a signaling time. It is a phrase that points not, my friends, to things that are always happening, but is a phrase that spells out a certain time into which human history now enters in. It is a signpost. These days will be the beginning of a new stage in human history. These days will say something unique is happening here. And our Lord will take that later on. Our Lord is saying, when you see these things happening, look up. Your salvation is drawing nigh. He doesn't say how close, but he says, look up. if, as Archbishop Trent says, many times these things happen slowly and without observations, we tend to behave like the world, even as the church. Paul says, Timothy, I want you to know that these times will come. Do you know what time it is? He's speaking about the last times. He's speaking about a signaling time, a time that causes the hearts of God's people to say, I have never felt this way before. I have seen these things, but it is almost like getting ready for some kind of news. And I quote again the Archbishop, he says this, it gives birth in a grand and decisive events which constitute at once the close of one period and the commencement of another. And so the apostle said the description he gives to this time, number one, it is a specific time, it is a signaling time. I don't know about you. When I was a young Christian, I saw that, what do you call it? Film? Thief in the Night. Now I know that a lot of people like that film, but you will forgive me if I say I thought it was a terrible film. The only reason, my friends, is this. That film tends to say there was a kind of a scary, a kind of an eerie time that will take place, and it gave people a kind of a fright. In fact, I talked to a young man not too long ago, going through some difficult times, and he said, I saw that film, and if I may use his words, I saw that film, and I made a response to Christ after the film. And he has been asking questions about God from that time to now, questions that have not been answered for him. Questions that cause God to look like a bully. Question that caused God, see, he did not understand what was happening. And Paul says if we are to understand the times, it will take the Spirit to give us the understanding of the times that we're living in so that we will have the concept, we will have the coordination of our minds with the times to look at it, we will know something unique is happening here. We can't say what it is. And by the way, the tendency is to throw our pearls before swines just at that time, and we make statements for which we have no scriptural validity. And so Paul said it's a signaling time. All of a sudden, something begins to take place, and we listen to the words of our Lord. Look up, your salvation is drawing nigh. A designation for the times, it is the last, the uttermost, the farthest, the end, the conclusion. This is what St. Paul has in mind. So we go from the description, the designation of the time, to the description of the times. The description of the times. 2 Timothy 3:1. But realize this. In the last days, perilous times or difficult times will come. Paul presents to us, my friends, one that is going to be a severe time. It's going to be a severe time. Listen to some of the translations. Perilous times, the King James Version. Terrible times, the New International Version. Difficult times, the New American Standard Bible. Grievous times, Weimar translation. No one can put a handle on what kind of a time it's going to be, except it's going to be a severe time. What does Paul mean by this? He says, perilous times. The word for perilous is a very interesting Greek word because, again, it speaks of two things. It has inherent in it, first of all, outward, what I call outward incorrigibleness. Things that you are seeing, things that make absolutely no sense at all from the standpoint of those who are doing it and from the standpoint of those who are observing it. Outwardly, we will see things as we have never seen before. This word, perilous, is used again in the New Testament in one other place. Interesting place. Turn, if you please, to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28, one of those 8:28s. Of the New Testament. And the story is of that man who was demon-possessed. No man could control him. And here's what it says. And when he had come, two men were demon-possessed, met him. They were so exceedingly, here's the word, your version says, or some of your version, fierce. Or violent. Uncontrollable. Difficult to handle. Dangerous. This is how severe it is going to be. And Paul reminds Timothy, in that time, let me tell you, and here it is, all who will live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Will suffer. Because no one will be in control of the human heart at this point in history. It is a severe time. When we look at things, can you begin, my friends? I don't know what time we're living in, but I want to be ready. Do you understand? Do you understand why 5 and 6 and 7 year old children are committing suicide in New York? Do you understand why a 13-year-old boy takes a knife and slices the throat of a 15-year-old boy and slices the throat of a 13-year-old? Do you understand, my friends, the deception that is going on where people are beginning to use the Word of God to contradict the God of the Word? Perilous times. And many times we want to understand whether Russia is a part of the whole scheme of eschatology, or what will happen with Persia, or what will happen with Babylon. And you remember our text read this evening? Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. The sure sign of understanding the times is to seek for a life of purity. Not to understand the maps. Not to make sure that you can say precisely what 666 means. Outward incorrigibleness. We are seeing things as we have never seen before. And I've heard people say, well, that's because people, we have more to inform people. We, you know, remember the days when, do you remember the days, some of you who are matured? I've learned not to say older. Some of you that are matured, when Queen Elizabeth II was crowned, I remember as a boy in Central America at that point, it took 1 week for the film to come from England to where we would see it in the movie houses back in British Honduras. My word, do you know when Anwar Sadat was killed? Do you know that we knew it before some of the Egyptians did? That's what's happening. And so we say we have more means of information. But my friends, this is not talking about means of information. It is talking about severity of violence. That's what it is talking about. Men will come to the place where they begin to contradict themselves. They will be illogical with logic, and they will want to say that this is what God is saying to us. That is happening now. Remember we said in the first part of this message, there are theological disasters and there are theological defections right now. So Paul says to Timothy, in the last days, I've told you of the latter times, be prepared for those times, they will come, but those times will lead to the last days. Whether it's Timothy's or whether it's ours, I don't know. But I do know we're seeing things, my friends, which we have not seen before. Not only then, outward incorrigibleness, and it's spelled out for us in the rest of the text, but inward impotence. Inward impotence. That word means not only perilous times, not only what we see, but what we feel. What Paul is saying to Timothy, that when the church, when the people of God begin to see what is taking place, they will lose their energy. Like a tire that has a slow leak. So the people of God will have a tendency of losing their spiritual strength. I was trying to think of a verse that fits this. And in 2 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 20, Saul had told the people not to eat for a certain number of days. And then the time came when the victory was won, when Samuel came to Saul, Jonathan had won the victory. And when Samuel came to Saul and he told them, the scripture says, Saul fell over, for there was no strength in him. Do you remember the words of our Lord Jesus? That God will act, because if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived, if it were possible. We'll lose our strength. Our hope will be threatened when we look at things. We will be tempted to say, when will God do something about this? I heard someone saying, and I think I've said it from this pulpit before, not my thoughts. These are not my thoughts at all. I would never say this. I'm quoting here. If God doesn't judge America, he owes an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. My friends, that's a terrible statement. God doesn't need to apologize to anybody, for he never comes too late or too early. He comes at his appointed time. And what time is it now? Believers, my friends, are defecting. Some who claim to have known the truth are moving away from it. There are questions about things in the scriptures that used to be held dear by some of these people. We're losing some of the energy that we needed to keep on keeping on. Inward impotence, discouragement, defeat, despondency, all these things, as we see the incorrigibleness that's going on around us, as we hear of names that we held high saying certain things about the scriptures, we ask ourselves, if these in whom I had great hope before are saying this, who then can I trust? Who then can I believe? Inward impotence. Spiritual energy sapped. So Paul says to us, there will be severe times. Severe times. I see it coming, friends. I do see it coming. I said it before and I'll just say it again. Just think again. There was a time that the courts had nothing and would have nothing to do with incidences in the church, neither Protestant or Catholic. I read recently of a deacon who was carrying on an extramarital affair with one of the women in the church. When the church disciplined that man, he took the church to court, and my friends, he won. Severe times. We're living in a time when they're saying, and they're fighting hard for it, you've heard me saying it, there will be coming a time, my friends, when two men will walk through that door, perhaps, or two women, and will ask that we dedicate the child they have adopted, and if we say yes, we go along with the times. If we say no, we will be called on the carpet for it. Severe times. There are people who are seeking to remove all the restraints that used to protect the church. And perhaps nothing better than that can happen that will teach us who our trust really is. Severe times. But Paul said, secondly, not only will times be severe in the last days, it'll be selfish times. Selfish times. Listen to what is just those two words at the beginning of verse 1, verse 2. For men. For men. If you want an argument, my friends, against people who say, how can God do this? Turn to 2 Timothy 3, for men. See, at the moment, men. And that word for men is anthropos, talking of human beings. It makes no distinction between sex or nationality. It is talking about human beings wherever they are found. For men. What will happen to men? Mankind will be lovers of themselves. At the very center of what is happening during the latter days will be self-worship. The two words, lovers of themselves, phileos, to be fond of, self, autos, where we get our word automobile from. That which will drive men in the last days will be self-centeredness. They will be given to self-worship, self-idolatry, that's what I want to say. Self-idolatry. At the very center of things, John Stott puts it this way. Remember that who is in charge during those days are men. God, actually, as it were, still sovereign, still the Lord, he's saying, do you want to go ahead this way? I will send you a spirit of delusion. Here we have men at the center of things. The King James has a very interesting word. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. The word own has the idea of being private. You won't know where these things are coming from, but they will be there. They will be expressed. There will be private decisions made that will affect the moral and spiritual foundation of the people of the days of which Paul is speaking to Timothy. Selfish times. I had this brought home to me yesterday, and just an illustration. Do you remember the days when you went to a birthday party? And you went to a birthday party and you used to take gifts for the one who had a birthday. That has changed, you know, just in case you don't have kids going to birthday parties anymore. When kids go to birthday parties, you know what else takes place? They receive gifts. They receive gifts. Now, one might say, that is very, you know, there's no harm in that. Let me tell you, my friends, you know what we're teaching our kids? How to always give only if they get. We've got to train them. We've got to say you go to a birthday party to recognize the one who has a birthday, not for you to get a gift. Let me suggest to you that Paul is saying, when we're driven by self, listen, when we're driven by self, commitment will not be important. Only what we can get out of the commitment will be important. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Paul is saying to Timothy, men will be so self-driven that only what is important to him, to them, God will not be in the picture at all. Morality will not be in the picture at all. Ethics will not be in the picture at all. Some theology will not be in the picture at all. Only what is important to me is important. Selfish times. And my friends, that selfish times call. Those times call for the reaction of God's people. Or the response is a better word than reaction. How do we take care of this time? What do we do during these times? Listen to the apostle again. The scripture is not without an answer to these times. Verse 1, Paul said to Timothy, I want you to know. That word know is not simply to have knowledge of. That word, as it is used or understand, means this. So that you will be resolved. So that you will be firm. I want you to know these things. Let me give you an illustration. Some years ago, it happened again. I was counseling a young couple for marriage. And they were late. And as he came in, the first thing he did was to say that she was the one that caused me to be late. He said, no, I shouldn't say that. I said, oh, don't worry. I love it. I really love it. You just confirmed the scriptures for me. The first thing that Adam did after sin into the world was what? Blame his wife. See, a sign. I can believe the scriptures when I see things happening. Listen, if the scripture says these times were going to come, and we see some of these times, my friends, we should be resolved that we can believe what the scriptures say. We can believe it. Listen to how Paul says to Timothy, he takes care of this. Verse 14. Chapter 3, that's right. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. Knowing, now this speaks of knowledge. Knowing,
from whom you have learned them. Continue. Almost the same idea as to know. The difference is, one speaks of being resolved to know. The other speaks of staying in the thing you do know. And what is the thing that Paul wants Timothy to stay in? From a child thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Listen, friends, no man can prepare you for the last days, but the word of God can. This can. Paul says to Timothy, there might be new doctrines. You go into the scriptures and see if you can see anything being practiced in your time that is not from scripture. Go to history and read some of the great men of the past, the theologians who were true to scripture, and see if they at any point gave in to seductive doctrines. And when you read them, and you see that they have been faithful to scripture, remember that if you continue there, you will be ready and you will understand the times. And it matters not whether it is the latter times or the last days. You will have no reason to be ashamed when he appears, whatever that is, because you are abiding in that which he has given to us. To stay in, to abide in, so that we will have no reason to be ashamed when he comes. I remember when I was a student out at Prairie, I heard someone giving this beautiful little illustration. The mother made some cookies and had to go to visit the neighbor and told her son, don't touch those cookies. Well, you know what happens when you tell a kid not to do something. That's exactly what they do. And just as he could endure the temptation no longer, mother came just as he put his hand on one of the cookies. And mom said, son. And as the story goes, the little boy said, I loved my mother, but not her appearing. I love my mother. My friends, we may love the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to tell you how we will love his appearing whenever the time is, as we abide in the things which we know to be true. We are being bombarded today with a lot of new things. Let me suggest to you that we go and we bury ourselves in this book, and the Holy Spirit will make known to us. Listen to what he says to John. You have an anointing. That word anointing, my friends, is hard to understand, but this is part of it. You know whom you believe, and you have no need for any man to tell you anything else about him. You know whom you have believed. And you know what he has said, and you know what he did. You know what he promised. You have no need for any man to tell you anything about that. It doesn't mean you don't need teachers. It means that when it comes to your connection with Christ, when it comes to the predictions of Christ, you don't need anyone to tell you anything differently than what the scriptures teach. Let us commit ourselves to stay with the book, for that is the only thing that will prepare us for the last days, for us to understand the times, what time it is. And as we do that, we will both love him and we will love his appearing.